So our second look at Euclidean geometry for the year, but now we can look more specifically at circle geometry. So all the Euclidean geometry we did prior to now, that's as far as tuning goes. So the circle geometry theorems are only an extension. That's not to say you can't use them in the tunit, but they wouldn't specifically be tested in tunit. They don't need to use them. So let's define a few things. Some more obvious than others. By the way, that's a circle. That's probably the most obvious of them all. Okay, a radius. There, well, I'm glad you asked. It's an interval that joins the center to the circumference. And then there's a diameter, which is an interval passing through the center, joining any two points on the circumference, which I guess is equivalent in a parabola to a focal chord, very good. Focal chord goes through the focus and joins the two boundaries. So I guess it's sort of like the focal chord of a circle. And speaking of chords, any interval that joins two points on the circumference is, of course, what we call a chord, as opposed to a secant, which doesn't just stop at the circumference, it keeps going. It still cuts it in two places, of course. Tangent, well, we've seen plenty of those. They just touch the circle, so it only meets the circumference in one spot. And an arc, that, of course, is just a piece of the circumference. Oh, yeah, please go. Actually, it's just read it closely. Really close. So an arc is a piece. Now, whilst I've labelled just one arc here, that actually is another arc, and that would be the red piece. So the blue one would be a minor arc, and the red one would be a major arc. So anything more than half the circle is a major arc. Anything less than half the circle is a minor arc. Another circle. Sector, piece of the pie, if you like. So its boundaries are two radii and an arc. Now, you get a minor sector, which is less than half the circle, and a major sector, which is more than half the circle. A quadrant is a special sector. That's when the angle at the center is 90 degrees, called quadrant because there's four quadrants in any circle. Segments is when we cut it off with the boundary is now a chord, and that cuts it in again into two segments, less than half the circle, minor segment, greater than half the circle, the major segment. Now, a semicircle, I guess, is a special one in that it's a segment where the chord's the diameter, but it also means it's a sector as well, because whilst the chord is the diameter, it also satisfies the two radii being part of the boundary. So that is why we call it a semicircle, to avoid any confusion. Okay, concyclic points. Now, we talked about concurrent points when we said, oh, these points are on the same line. Concyclic points, points that lie on the same circle. So A, B, C, and D, they're all concyclic points. And the reason I specifically chose four concyclic points, if you were to join up four concyclic points, you get the shape that we call a cyclic quadrilateral. So where all four vertices lie on the same circle. Okay. Now, special terminology that we see a lot in circle geometry. Doesn't have to be just in circle geometry, but we see it here a lot. What I've done there is I've subtended an angle. So anytime you get two points, join it up to a third point, that's what we call subtending an angle. So in this case, if that was the center of the circle, I'd say that the angle alpha is the angle subtended at the center by the arc AB. So AB are the two points. We're joining up to the third point being the center. Of course, it could also be by the chord AB, because all we're really interested in this is the endpoints. And the chord and the arc would have the same endpoints. And beta is also an angle subtended, but that one's subtended at the circumference by the chord or the angle, or the arc, I should say, AB. Okay. These two circles, where they share a common center, are what we call concentric circles. So they're the same center. These two circles, they're not concentric, but they have a common tangent. Because the circles touch at one point, they would have a common tangent, and we say in this case that they touch internally, because one of the circles is inside the other circle, as opposed to this diagram, where again we have two circles touching in one spot. They also share a common tangent, but they touch externally. So the two circles are outside of each other. All right, let's get into our chord arc theorems. The reason I say chord and arc is often you can replace the word chord with the word arc, because most of these theorems really are just referring to the end points rather than the actual line. Some cases it has to be the chord and has to be the arc, but most of these they're not. So, but the thing to recognize is, I suppose it is a theorem in a way, but I've just put it there as a note. Because the endpoints are the same, then the equal chords will always cut off equal arcs. So if the length of the chords are the same, in the same circle, of course, or the same size circle, then the arc that chord makes will always be the same length. Okay. So the first of our theorems, perpendicular drawn to a chord from the center of a circle bisects the chord, and the perpendicular bisector of chord passes through the center. Let's have a look. Well, that's the reason I would use. Let's have a look at the diagram so we can see what it means. So here we are. If I know that the chord is perpendicular to the radius there, then I can say, well, I know AX is equal to BX. And the reason being, the perpendicular drawn from the center will always cut the chord in half. Or as I put here, perpendicular from the center will bisect the chord. So if we know that's a right angle, then we can say, okay, that means AX equals BX. Easy one to prove. A lot of these circle geometry ones, we just prove via congruent triangles. So I know that that's a right angle. Well, I'm going to prove that AX equals BX. So I'm going to draw in a couple of radii, OA and OB, to create a couple of triangles. And, well, we know they're both 90 degrees. So I've got an angle or a right angle. The hypotenuse are the same. Or is that hypotenuse? Anyway, because they're both radii, so they've got to be the same length. And OX is common to both triangles. So I've got right angle, hypotenuse, side. It makes those two congruent. So if they're congruent, AX must equal BX, because they would be the matching sides in congruent triangles. Okay, the reverse of that. So in this case, if I know AX is equal to BX, then I can say, well, I now know these two lines are perpendicular. So one's the converse or the reverse of the other. If I know they're perpendicular, I can say these two lines are equal. Or if I know these two lines are equal, I can say they're perpendicular. So the theorem works both ways. So if I was going to do that, I'd say, well, okay, if I know AX is equal to BX, I can conclude from that OX is perpendicular to AB, because we know that the line that joins the center to the midpoint, which is what OX is, joining the center to the midpoint, will always be perpendicular to the chord. Again, easy enough to prove. I'll do it via congruent triangles again. So let's draw in a couple of radii and create some triangles. AX is equal to BX. They gave me that information. AO equals BO, equal radii. And OX is common. So I've got side, side, side. So yes, they are congruent, which means they're equal, because they're matching angles in congruent triangles. But not only are they equal, I know they've got to add together to give 180, because they're on a straight line or a straight angle. So I can conclude from that that they are in fact both 90 degrees. So in other words, it is perpendicular. Okay. Next one. equal chords of a circle are the same distance from the center and subtend equal angles at the center. So if I was going to use the idea, that's what I'd write down, but let's have a look at the diagram. So here I've got two chords, A, B, and C, D, and I'm saying they're of equal length. Okay. Well, if they're of equal length, then OX should equal OY, because they have to be the same distance from the center. That's what we're basically saying. OX will equal OY, because equal chords are equidistant from the center. The other thing I could say, if we know they are equal chords, if I was to join them up to the center or subtend an angle at the center, then that angle subtended at the center must be the same, because equal chords will subtend equal angles at the center. So let's prove some of that. We know AB is equal to CD, and I've also said OX is perpendicular to OY, because whenever we talk about distance to a line, it's the perpendicular distance we're talking about. So I'm going to prove OX is equal to OY. So I'm going to draw in, again, a couple of radii, this time OA and OC. So AB equals CD, they gave me that information. AX, I know, is half of AB, because the perpendicular from the center bisects the chord. Similarly, CY must equal a half CD, but if AB equals CD, I can conclude, that now means AX must equal CY. They're both half of the equal chords. So I have a side. I've been given an angle of 90 degrees in both, and both hypotenuses... they're both equal because they're both radii. So I've got right angle hypotenuse side. So therefore, OX does equal Y. They now become matching sides in the congruent triangles. Now, don't panic, because you don't have to prove these every single time. That's the point of the theorem. Once you know the theorem, you just use the theorem. But I'm just showing you that we're not just plucking them out of thin air. It's very easy to prove them if we had to. Well, let's have a look at the one where they subtend equal angles at the center. So again, I know AB is equal to CD, because we said they're equal chords. This one's a lot easier, because I can say, well, AB equals CD, that's what they gave me, and OA equals BO equals CO equals DO, they're all radii of the same circle, so we must have congruent triangles there, side, side, side. So if they're congruent triangles, then the angle at the center must be the same in both matching angles in our congruent triangles. Okay, so there's the first of our theorems. By the way, this last one, equal chords subtend equal angles at the center, that's one where you could replace it with arcs, because the endpoints are the same. So the arc AB would also subtend an equal angle at the center.